Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 133, Long Ago Prophets Knew. The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen on the way in the notices there that this evening our service, our festival service of Nine Lessons and Carols is at 7 o'clock this evening. And there'll be no Wednesday morning service this week, but on Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock, we celebrate the first communion of Christmas on Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock. Thursday, which is Christmas Day, we have a celebration of Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, and at 10:15, a family celebration of Christmas. On Saturday morning, there's the chance to work off that Christmas dinner, and there is the opportunity to do some little bits and pieces of work around the church grounds, a work party between 9 and 11. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we have a special service celebrating the story of some of our favourite Christmas carols. And next Sunday evening at 7, we have the service of evening prayer. Over the season of Advent, we have been lighting all the candles on our Advent wreath, and today we will be lighting the fourth of our candles, and I'm going to invite Patrick, if he might come, to light our Advent wreath. As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember all those preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who all told of the coming Messiah. Our third candle reminded us of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. And today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and on this day we remember how Jesus, the Son of God, was born of a human mother, so that he was truly both God and man. The angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." Mary said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So today, as we light our fourth candle, we remember Mary, who was obedient and so became the mother of Jesus. Amen.
Our service of morning prayer begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service is a cry for God to come, help, and restore his people. Together we read Psalm 80, verses 1 to 8 and 18 to 20. You'll find it on page 685 of the prayer book. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel.
Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, you that led Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your mighty strength, and come to our salvation. Turn us again, O God, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry at your people's prayer? You feed them with the bread of tears. You give them abundance of tears to drink. You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you made so strong for yourself. And so will we not go back from you. Give us life, and we shall call upon your name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated?
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, your house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." Here ends the first reading.
Turning again to the Red Church hymnal, we sing hymn number 712, "Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord."
Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice, tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Savior shall my heart rejoice. Tell out my soul the greatness of his name. Make known his might, the deeds his arm has done, his mercy shown from age to age the same. His holy name, the Lord, the mighty one. Tell out my soul the greatness of his might. And dominions take their glory by. But hearts and stubborn wills are put to flight. The hungry fed, the humble lifted high. Tell out my soul the glories of his right. Greatness of the Lord to children's children and forevermore.
The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the reading.
Turning to page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The collect for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Savior, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 151, Child in the Manger.
Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, honored of all. Child who inherits all our transgressions, all our glories.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It might be stating the obvious, but it's getting close to Christmas, and it's always lovely at this time of the year to see many people making their way home on holidays. And it's also lovely in the course of what I do to see those who are making intense preparations for visitors and family coming in the next couple of days. And our service this morning is an occasion when, if we are willing, we can be taken back in time and brought to the heart of what Christmas is all about. And yet, as we gather here this morning, I'm also conscious of how difficult this time of year can be for many people. I think of many who have lost loved ones during the year. And I think, too, of others who are watching today by the bedside of someone that they love, and that's never an easy place, but particularly so at this time of year. And you wonder, what does the message of Christmas have to say into these situations of struggle or sorrow? What does the message of Christmas have to say to those whose hearts are filled with joy and anticipation at the prospect of spending precious time with their loved ones this Christmas? And I think to shed a little light upon the message, we need to try to transport ourselves back in time to that first Christmas. And from our gospel reading this morning, I'm particularly interested in the contribution of Joseph, the quiet man of the first Christmas, who gets very little mention or publicity in any of the gospels other than Matthew's gospel, which we heard from this morning. And so in the annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary from Luke's gospel, Joseph doesn't even get a mention. But in Matthew's account, it is Joseph that the angel speaks to as he sleeps. And it's a really important message that Joseph gets. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And in order to get the significance of this message which Joseph receives, it's important to say that this was an era in which legitimacy was all important for the welfare of both mother and child. In other words, for the Messiah to be born, the son of David, well then, this is the man, Joseph, who he must be born to. And from Matthew's angle, the whole thing really hinges upon what happens with Joseph. If Joseph believes the angel, well, then everything is grand. The Old Testament prophecies will be fulfilled. Everything will be bang on track. Mary will have a home, a family, and this child will be born of the line of David. But if Joseph were to ignore the dream that he has, and if he were to head for the divorce proceedings as he had planned, well then this child to be born would have no paternal line, and Mary would be an outcast forever. And it's not maybe so easy for us to properly understand this issue of legitimacy and the fulfillment of God's purposes through the prophecies, because many people raise their children outside marriage in our world today. But I want us to try to apply that situation Joseph found himself in to our lives this morning, and to see if it might have relevance for us. And as I understand it, the heart of Matthew's account of what happened is all about Joseph, a just and decent man who wakes up one day to find that his whole life is in tatters. His wife-to-be is pregnant. His trust has somehow been betrayed. And his name is in ruins. And as we look at Matthew's account, it is all about this righteous man who looks at a mess that he has absolutely nothing to do with, and he decides to believe that God is present in the chaos. With every reason in the world to disown the mess and to walk away from it in search of a cleaner, quieter, more controlled life with an easier, more conventional wife, Joseph doesn't do any of that. And what he actually does is claim the scandal, and he gives it his name. He owns the whole thing. He legitimates it, and all of the mess confronting him becomes exactly the place where the Messiah, the one who will save us all from our sins, is born. And I guess Joseph, in many ways, is very like us in our daily lives, presented day by day with circumstances that are beyond our control and with situations happening to us in our lives that we would never have chosen for ourselves. And this is when, just like Joseph, we need to be attentive to God's messenger telling us not to be afraid, that God is here. And it's true, it's not the way that we might have planned it, but God can be born here too, in the middle of all our mess and all that might be happening to us, including all those things that are outside our control, if we will only permit that. And that's perhaps the really shocking thing about this first Christmas, that God's yes to us depends in return on our own yes to him. That God's birth should somehow involve and require human partners, a Mary and a Joseph, a you and a me, who are willing to believe the impossible and to claim this scandal that we can't properly explain. And as we look out on a world that seems increasingly out of control, where persecution and atrocities seem to dominate the headlines around the world, in such a crazy world, it is our job. It's our job as God's people to proclaim over and over again to anyone who will listen and hear that same message that Joseph dared to believe, that God is still with us, that God is still being born in the mess of lives that have gone out of control, that God is still being born in the hearts of those who are honest enough to own up to their own mess and to believe what angels might whisper or what their Bibles tell them. When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until
she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And I guess the big question for us is, what will we do this Christmas with the news that we have heard in our churches, in our carols, in our Bibles? Will we take this news to heart and dare to believe it, just as Joseph did? Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your church in this season of Advent and Christmas. We pray for David, our bishop, and we ask you to bless all the services that are happening right around the world in the coming days, in churches and cathedrals, in prisons and hospitals, in secret places where believers cannot safely meet for fear of attack or persecution, under trees and on street corners, wherever your people meet, Lord, may they encounter the joy and peace of your holy presence. And we ask you to be born again in the ordinary places, in the joys and in the mess of human experience. Open our hearts to receive and to trust you, just as Mary and Joseph did. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world, and we pray today for peace talks that are planned for Ukraine and Russia. We pray for leaders in the United States and Europe as they seek to guide and to influence these talks in a positive way. We pray particularly for the courage and trust that is needed to get a ceasefire in place. And we remember the broken people on both sides, on whom so much importance is connected to this process. Would you be with them and help them to hope and to find a way forward? Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray particularly for those in hospital over these days, receiving important treatment or recovering from major surgery, or trying to come to terms with serious diagnoses. Be with them and with their families, we pray, as we lift those who are particularly in our minds and on our thoughts into your healing presence in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We respond to all we have heard by singing the hymn of the offering, number 168, Lord, You Were Rich.
Don't forget, after our service, everybody is warmly invited to some tea and coffee over in the church hall. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 102, Name of All Majesty. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.